You're now listening to a Flawless Noises Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Ramblin' Podcast, presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. My AKA for today is Abolish Daylight Savings Time, because it is unnatural for it to be dark at 6 o'clock. And as usual, I am joined by my friends and my co-hosts.
Hey, y'all. It's me, Candace, Nasalulu at PC on all social media. My AKA today is that celebrities don't need you to die on heels for them. Even your most favorite of favorites don't need you to die on a heel for them. They're capitalists. Yes. All three or four of those women that you are thinking about, They're capitalists. I don't care how much they try to tell you to lean towards this or lean towards that. They're capitalists. Their goal is to get rich. Their goal has been to get rich and to stay rich. So you don't need to die on a hill for them. They're just fine. They're so far up that hill that most of us cannot reach them. But yeah. Hello, everybody. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, y'all.
Y'all ready to get into the show? We got five shows, and they have not disappointed. They have not disappointed me. I've been pleasantly surprised. We're going to stick with what we've been doing. We're going to start out over in the world of Bravo, and then we'll head on over to the network of OWN. And before we get there, though, I just want to say that I wonder what is going on behind the scenes with NeNe Leakes and Bravo and Andy, because she is popping up all over the place with the Housewives girls. She's in Dubai with Cynthia. She's hanging out with the girls from Real Housewives of Dubai. She's hanging out with the girls from Beverly Hills. Like we talked about with BravoCon and how Andy basically said you never know what could happen, I honestly believe, and I think we said it last week, that Andy knows that the only thing he can really do to bring some life back into Atlanta is at some point it's going to happen with the return by NeNe Leakes. They've tried everything else for Atlanta. They've tried revamping the cast, bringing in this one new, that one new, this one new, that, and it hadn't worked. Chemistry has not been there. They tried bringing back some OGs with some new faces. Didn't work. Sonya and Drew didn't work. Sheree and, you know, didn't work. It's not working because I swear we hold NeNe's feet to the fire when she does dumb shit. We certainly do. But a huge part of Atlanta's cultural impact was NeNe Leakes. It just was. She's polarizing. Either everybody love to hate her, or they are fan. No matter how it goes, she's a piece that you can build a show around and make it interesting. Atlanta's not interesting, especially because the solidified OGs, your Candies and so on and so forth, are fighting so hard to shield their real life from the cameras.
And it's transparent at that.
So
ironically transparent.
Yeah. So I just wonder what's going on. I don't think it's just a coincidence that she's all of a sudden back hanging with all of these women from this network that she used to work for. To me, that's like if you got fired from a job or you quit a job, are you going to go up to that job just to be hanging out all the goddamn time with the employees? No. I think there's something in the works. I don't know if she's coming back soon or whatever, but I feel like behind the scenes, there's a rebuilding of the relationship between her and Andy happening slowly but surely. And I think at some point in the next year or two, we'll see NeNe back on Bravo. So that's what I feel.
We shall see.
But let's go play in the snow really quickly, Salt Lake City. So I don't know. Whitney is just a stunt queen to me. Everything is a stunt to me. Like even the friend passing away, and then you opting to go to Meredith's event, and you crying, you looking sad, you looking downtrodden, you having this blow up with Lisa because Lisa is not coddling you, or like what? I'm not even trying to be funny, but if somebody knows that somebody that you're close to just passed away and you're out at a public place, why would they be talking about it to you to get you back in that headspace? To me, that just seems like a very like conversations that you have privately, not at somebody's business event. So again, I'm put in this position where I don't think Lisa is the problem in this in this undoing here. Because to me, it just seems really unrealistic to go to an event and expect people to be asking you at an event that's not your event to be asking you and coming up to you talking about somebody close to you passing away. That just seems really insensitive to me. Now,
It is,
if you
but
bring it up, cool. I'll embrace you. Yeah, I know I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm so very sorry to hear that. If you need anything, I'm here for you. But if I know ahead of time somebody close to you just passed away and we out in a public place, I'm not about to be bringing the shit up. I'm not even trying to get you in a headspace. You at this social event, if anything, I want you to try to have as good a time as possible considering what's going on. So I think Whitney is the problem here. She wants to have a problem because she needs to have a storyline.
correct, because the more ridiculous she is, the more we don't have to talk about her husband being sued for the same type of fraud that Jen was indicted for. And I know every time we go play in the snow, I'll bring that hoe up, but I'm gonna keep bringing it up because God damn it, I've been watching too much reality TV for to not peep that. Because think about it, like there was a time where Whitney rightfully couldn't even fucking stand Lisa and not want to talk to her. Now you're doing all these theatrics, getting in her space, trying to have a quote unquote relationship with her and then doing inappropriate, insensitive shit like this. It's like, I know, I'm familiar with your game. I'm familiar with your game. You are being ridiculous, so you don't have to talk about the real shit that's going on in your life with you and your husband with the bad knees.
Yep, absolutely. So I do not. Okay, I gotta call Monica out about this. Monica's whole beef with Lisa has been that Lisa is materialistic and this, that, and the third. You're the same woman who was Jen Shah's assistant.
Right, like
What
belittle.
I think bothers Monica about Lisa and God, again, this thing where Lisa doesn't is not inherently the problem. I think what bothers Monica about Lisa is that Lisa has real wealth. Monica knew that Jen Shah was putting on. She knew about the scams. She knew how she was getting money. She knew that half of the shit that Jen Shah was wearing and carrying was fake and it was knockoff. So I don't think that Monica ever saw a reason to be jealous of Jen because Jen didn't really have it. She was renting homes, leasing cars, wearing fake bags, robbing, stealing, and would probably would have resorted to killing and try to just, have access to money. But she didn't really have money. I think it rubs her the wrong way with Lisa because Lisa actually has money. And she's as flamboyant as Jen Shah it was. So that's
It
where
could
I
also
think
be a
that,
jealousy thing.
yeah, that's where I think the disconnect is happening with Lisa and Monica is that it rubs Monica the wrong way because Lisa actually has money. Again, we're talking about somebody who lost a $67,000 ring and then replaced it. She lost somebody's salary and replaced it just like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
So I do think that that rubs Monica the wrong way, but the whole thing when she was talking to Mary, and then how do you sit down and have a conversation with Mary about Lisa being materialistic and you're sitting down having a conversation with Mary?
Right, the same Mary that literally told her congregation, "Y'all some broke bitches."
The same Mary who's always wearing labels and talking about labels. So to me, it's like she's a little, she's full of shit. But again, it's made for good TV. Her and Lisa finally had a conversation, and you know, she apologized for being mean, and Lisa said that they were in a good place. And then Lisa and Meredith had to sit down. And I mean, here's the thing. If you are friends with Meredith and you are friends with Angie, stop being the fucking go-between. If there is no reason for you to be running back and forth to both ladies telling what they said when they're in your presence, it makes you look really funny in the light. And then this game of telephone happens where Angie is saying, "Oh yeah, Lisa told me you said blah blah blah." She didn't just throw you directly under the bus.
I mean, it's not surprising though, because I mean, again, this is the same Lisa that, called her friend, of some odd years way before this show even became a thing, a, unsanitary whore in Meredith. So, I mean, just, it is, like it's messy, but it's on brand for Lisa. Like, just because, Whitney has been ridiculous and Heather has been ridiculous and Monica has been ridiculous. It's never it, this is still a Lisa Barlow hate podcast. Like that ain't changed.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. But I just, you know, like I said, like Monica deserves first chair. Monica deserves her contract renewal before the rest of the ladies because Monica has carried the show. Because we cannot name any storylines that happened on this in the season outside of Meredith versus everybody. Meredith versus Angie and Meredith versus, you know, this, that, and third. But outside of that, these women haven't had a storyline if it didn't involve Monica.
True.
Monica and Lisa, you know,
Monica and Mary.
Monica and
Monica
Mary,
and Whitney.
Monica
Monica
and
and
Whitney,
Angie.
Monica and Angie. Like, there hasn't been anything going on in this group dynamic where Monica wasn't the center of it. And so I just feel like, you know, Monica has earned, you know, all the credit that she's getting. Even the cash trip is planned around Monica's birthday.
I mean, she came into this season knowing that she was going to show her ass, and I mean, it's made for good TV.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, this whole Whitney versus Lisa thing, and you try to make everything about you. Like, that was what Whitney said. Lisa, you try to make everything about you. You
Says the
don't even
motherfucker
care.
in everything.
Well, yeah, you don't even care that my best friend just died. Then you go into therapy with your husband, and y'all are claiming that therapy doesn't work because the therapist dredges up more bullshit. That's what they're supposed to do. That's the therapist's job, to unpack the shit that y'all keep trying to hide.
Like y'all hiding them lawsuits.
And y'all would rather not go to therapy than have to unpack the shit that y'all are hiding and keeping repressed than to actually unpack it and get to the root of it. I don't know. I'm over Whitney. I don't think she has provided anything worthwhile to this season. And it's time for her to shit or get off the pot. It's time for us to get to the nitty-gritty about this marriage, because the way that they were talking about their marriage, and I still want to fight, it seems like divorce is on the table. If we was reading between the lines, it seemed like divorce was on the table. So, you know, we'll see. We next this week we'll be, I guess we're getting ready for the cash trip, and we'll see how that goes. But I would like to talk about Tomek. So, you know, NECA, you're a stunt queen, and I'm gonna tell you what I think happened. It's been said across social media. I believe that NECA and her husband have crossed paths with Wendy and Eddie before. NECA's husband and Eddie went to the same college. They are like Facebook friends, and NECA used Wendy's name to try and be an in on the show. And she went to the producers and said, "Hey, I know Wendy. We're both Nigerian. Our husbands went to school together. We know some of the same people. You know, maybe I could be a good fit for the show." And when they brought it to Wendy, Wendy said, "I know of her. I don't know her. We're not friends. We know some of the same people. her and my husband are friends on Facebook, but that's really it. And it just kind of went from there. It escalated. And then they told NECA, well, Wendy, you can't come on as a friend of the show. Through Wendy, you'll have to find somebody else. And they roped Ashley into the bullshit. This, to me, it just feels like a lot of carrying on because NECA doesn't want it to be found out that she lied about who she knows to get on that show. And once she saw that Wendy wasn't going to bring her in as a friend of the show, she knows that a majority of the girls on the show don't care for her and Candace. And so now she's doing everything in her power to work against Wendy. And I'm not impressed because, again, this is a whole lot. First of all, having adding somebody to Facebook do not make you fucking friends. Quite
Correct.
literally, Facebook started out as a place for college students to keep in touch. Then it turned out it's turned into this thing where you could catch up with, find, keep in touch with people from days past. But as a whole, I do not use Facebook to really get to know people that I add to Facebook. Either I already know you or we know of each other in some capacity, but that's really it. And I guarantee you, with like Eddie, Wendy, and these people on these reality shows, they add motherfuckers to Facebook and don't give it a second fucking thought
I mean,
because
not,
they're using it for business.
I mean, us, we're just too goddamn old for you to think that a follow equals friendship, regardless of the social media platform.
And it was just really weird. And bringing up her mother, and I'll tell you even what I think happened there. When Wendy and NECA bumped heads the first time, Wendy called her mom and told her what happened. And her mom was like, I'm about to put a root on this bitch. Like, I believe she called her mom and was like, this girl, NECA, such and such, so and so, her family are these people, her husband is this person. And her mom was like, oh, this bitch is playing. Let me get her together. That's what I believe happened. No, I don't believe Wendy mom just randomly start targeting NECA and this, that, and the third. It's just kind of one of them things. If your kids come to you and be like, oh, this bitch was talking shit, as a parent, you're gonna be like, who I gotta fuck up?
True.
So I don't think it's that deep. I think NECA is making it that deep. I think Giselle, Ashley, and Robin have put a battery in NECA's back to make it that deep. I think they're using her as a pawn because, like we said last week, now it's two darker skinned African women against each other, and now they could be hands off in the chaos while orchestrating it behind the scenes. Because this was all orchestrated by Ashley. Ashley told a blatant lie.
There's evil in that mega mind.
Yeah, it was a blatant lie. And so, to me, and then,
I don't think Nick is long for this is feeling like a one and done season.
yeah, I think she's coming in so hot that she's not gonna come back.
Yeah, because this is
And
all she really got going for.
I just think it's really ugly to take something related to their culture and bring it to the main stage the way that NECA is, and be so ugly about it. Like, if you want to talk about certain aspects of your heritage and your culture and how they are damaging and how their systems that really could stand to be done away with, like class systems and shit like that, have that conversation. You could have had a conversation with Wendy one-on-one. And it may have still been equally as salacious as you think what you're doing is proven to the world, but it's not. I think you would have been better off having a conversation with Wendy if there really was some misunderstanding or whatever the case may be. Go talk to her one-on-one. But letting a bunch of biracial musty mulatto bitches use you as a pawn, you're not as smart as you think you are. And it's dumb.
But see, Candace going to Wendy and resolving it, that's too much like writing wanting to actually have conflict resolution
Yeah.
instead of someone who's just looking for a moment.
And that's what this was, a moment. And her husband ugly. Why do you got a mohawk? Why do you have a mohawk in the year 2023, the year of our Lord and our Savior? Why are you walking around with a mohawk? And y'all, based on the previews from the season, it just feels like NECA has a nasty attitude, period. Like when she's sitting in the doctor's office, she like telling her husband to shut up and stop talking to her and shit. It's just I don't know if I'll care. I don't know if I care for her.
One and done season. Like I was saying, one and done season.
Juan showed up and Robin showed up with her pussy facing the world.
She's all
Now
right.
you did all this him and Han about Wendy, how she dressed, having plastic surgery, having a boob job and getting lipo, and then because she's trying to get the attention of her husband who's cheating. And Robin, you show up to badminton or pickleball or whatever the fuck they was doing, whatever the fuck Karen put together, and see-through leggings and shit. You showed up with your pussy out.
Robin facing the
That untouched pussy face in the world, because Juan touching everybody but Robin.
wandless face in the world.
The
The wan and the restless.
wandering Juan. That's what his
Wan.
name is. Wandering. They spell it JUANDERING. Wandering.
Check
That
don't cuss.
wandering dick. And so that wand Robin and the wandering dick showed up, and she half fucking naked, just being fucking weird. And then he done showed his stupid look. Is it me or is Juan starting to look bad? I feel like
Nah,
he's
he did
aging.
look good. I was gonna say, did he ever look good? But he did. I ain't gonna be no hater. He did.
But he looked like he's starting to age poorly now.
He's starting to look a little haggard, but I mean,
He a little haggard.
COVID, stress from not having a job, Robin being your roommate. I mean, it's a lot to age a person.
The bitches you want won't be quiet.
Yeah,
They gotta tell the world you bought the hotel and shit. You can't get no pussy in peace. You can't
you
take your what you was gonna say, Jeremy.
now I was gonna say you in a scandal for covering up harassment and assault. I mean, hey,
You can't take your bitch to get her nails done in peace without the
man,
cameras taking pictures.
you can't go to Bella No Chase with your side bitches. Like it's a lot.
If you can't go to Bella Noches with your side bitch, where could you go?
It's a lot to age a nigga,
Yeah, Juan is not nearly as handsome as he used to be, and it's his age is starting to show, and his poor moral compass is starting to wear on his looks, and so.
He got a lot going on. Most of it is own doing.
Ooh.
Okay.
Do not care about me and G. Do not care about this storyline about the going to see she was gonna get a divorce attorney and they going to there. I don't care about none of this. This was
Especially
never
when we see
about,
the aftermath in real time.
this was never about them having marital issues. This is about him being broke and not having access to the money he once had. And the funny part is, once Gordon divorces Mia, I can almost guarantee you his family will reinstate him as the CEO and unfreeze all his assets and shit once she gone.
That would be hilarious, to be
So you
honest.
think it's like an intervention?
I certainly do, because I feel like she's probably the one spending the money the most frivolously. Yeah, I feel like she's
I can
spending the
see
money the most frivolous. Because again, we're talking about last season. This bitch had they was renting a house and made renovations to a rental property. And not just painted the walls or added a new light fixture. She said they did $20,000 worth of renovation to a rental home. Tell me that's not stupid.
It's certainly unwise, I will say that.
You could have used the $20,000 to put down on the house that belonged to you.
Just as well when you put it like
Then said they was paying $10,000 a month in rent. You can pay $10,000 a month in rent. That's $120,000.
A stack a month.
You could put $20,000 worth of renovations into said house, but you can't buy a home. No, something was not adding up with me and Gordon's finances. And I believe when this divorce is final, it's probably gonna be really easy for him to get back on his feet because he's gonna have that financial succubus out of his pocket.
That would be funny if they reinstate him. Was like, my nigga, you had to get that monkey off your back.
Because it was his brother that did it, right?
I think.
It was his brother that froze him out of the business and the accounts and shit.
I know he said it was family. I can't remember if he said it was his brother specifically, but I know it was a family decision. I don't care about me, Angie. I mean, we already have seen the fallout of it in real time, where he up here calling her a hoe and an opportunist, and she trying to and she making videos trying to cook with no pots and pans. So
yeah, that's something.
That is definitely a choice.
Definitely. Well, that's that on that. And now I want to go to Atlanta because I mean, I do have a few things that I want to talk about with Married to Medicine. For me, my biggest thing is I'm of the mind that I do not give a fuck that that lady uninvited Heavenly to her wedding at the last minute, because Heavenly didn't have good intentions with that lady coming on the show. And I know that they have a job to do and they have to be salacious and they have to be messy and they have to make it worth our while and worth the watch. But Heavenly is going out of her way to be really nasty to that woman while smiling in her face. And that's the part that I just really can't get with. So
no, I agree. I mean,
they're wedding apart. They sat on live. It was Quad, Heavenly, and I want to say Jackie or somebody, or Phaedra. Somebody,
I would say, wasn't it Phaedra?
And Phaedra, and they nitpicked the woman's wedding and things like that. And that was the one thing I really did not want to see Quad do. And yes, I know the sweet tea can be shady, but I just really did not want to see her get on that bandwagon talking shit about Greg and his new wife, because they're going to spin it as one of those, well, she coming across bitter. Why she bringing up that they got married at the Four Seasons? They divorced now. And I agree. There's no reason for Quad to discuss this woman's wedding, funeral, or nothing else as it pertains to Dr. Greg.
Yeah, like even yeah, that I completely agree, Candace. And that was my worry coming into the season, that some of Quad's storyline, or even if we saw some things in real time, she was going to, you know, be around the girls or be around, you know, people, you know, that she's, you know, somewhat close to on the cast, and they were going to, you know, talk some shit like they always do, and she would join in on shade. And like, she is in a situation where you can't say shit. Now, granted, I agree that I feel like she should want to say anything at all. But even if she joins in some light shade, people are going to run with, you are bitter, you a hater, why are you speaking on, you know, why are you speaking on Greg? And didn't you divorce him? Are you speaking on someone who, you know, abused you, et cetera, et cetera? Or you hating on her? Or, you know, I don't know why you talking, because you and her both, you know, was dating the old nigga for money. So it's like, you can't win in that, so just avoid it all together, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just not gonna be a good look.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No matter what way you spin, it's just not gonna be a good look.
I agree. I definitely agree. Then she got into the wedding, kind of interrupted the ceremony, stayed for the reception. It was kind of annoying. And like I said, I know that Heavenly has to do her job, but honestly, if I know that a woman feels so strongly about me that she would uninvite me to her wedding on the day of, I wouldn't go. I don't give a fuck about those cameras. We'll catch up again. I'm not going to something as intimate as a wedding knowing that I'm not wanted there, to the point that they crossed my name off and then made sure everybody knew I was not on the list and to not let me in.
Well, see, Candace, you wouldn't go because you a normal motherfucker, but we talking about Heavenly here.
Well, that's true.
You know, we talking about the same motherfucker that's named Heavenly but got more hell to her in a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know. And I mean, to your point, I mean, part of, like, it is annoying as all hell. But I feel like it's just part of her character, you know. Like you said, like to keep up the salaciousness, to keep up the hell and the drama and the mess on the show. What I was most like, I was like, damn, it's like, not only do you have yourself, you done got Damon up involved in this mess. You know, Damon don't bother nobody.
Yep.
Damon over here like that. Damon over here like me. Now, why am I in it? Now, what the hell? I don't do nothing but go to work and and come home and be with these kids and put up with your crazy ass. And now you done got me in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looked so disappointed. He was like, well, now.
And honestly, to me, again, I want them to, if y'all are going to have Sweet Tea and Greg on this show, I feel like there's a better way to, what's the word I'm looking for? To curate interactions between Quad and Sweet Tea and Greg without doing shit like having her come to her bridal shower and then acting like, oh, why did Phaedra invite her? You, like, again, you know good fucking well production told Quad to show up to that girl's bridal shower. They facilitated that. There is no other reason Quad would just show up to something where she, and act like she don't know where she at, who she going to see, and shit like that. There is no other reason why she would show up to this woman bridal shower other than the cameras was rolling. So I would just feel like if you all are going to facilitate interactions, at least let it be believable.
See, that's the problem right there, Candace, with Quad being on those lives and joining in the shade, because you're not wrong, but people are going to see those lives, at, you know, that they go on after the shows in real time and see Quad joining them on that shade. And people are going to be like, I don't know, maybe she went to be shaded because she's damn sure doing it in real time. You know, and again, that's why I wish Quad wouldn't be joining in that shit, because it gives fuel to those fires.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if she not involved in this mess, what storyline would Quad have?
Well, I don't mind Quad being involved. I don't mind that they brought Sweet Tea and Greg on the show, because in reality, some of the husbands, if not most of the husbands, are still friends with Greg.
Hell, not even just them, the wives too.
Yeah, so it's not unrealistic that the three of them are moving through this similar friend group. I just don't want it to be so contrived where it's like, oh, the ex-wife showing up at the future wife's bridal shower. We know that was all production's doing. If anything, why not throw a couple's dinner or a couple's event or something like that? And Quad is there and Greg and Sweet Tea is there. To me, that's a much better way of facilitating interactions amongst this friend circle. But yeah, she certainly needs, like, I know Quad don't want to admit it, but this is a storyline that's going to push her back to the top of this show, because she was losing a lot of footing, if you ask me. Like, she really never really had no storyline going on for the last couple seasons.
And see, for me, I would be okay. Like, I honestly am perfectly fine with Quad at this stage in her life and her career being a friend of the show, especially because, I mean, we've seen, like, more of her success outside of this show, you know, with her being on other platforms, with her cooking, with her book, etc. So I'm fine with her being a friend of the show and, you know, popping in occasionally and adding to, like, the atmosphere and ambiance of the show. But I would not want, I don't like, I knew, I had a bad feeling about this, about basically, like, her ex-nigga and his new bitch being her storyline going into this season. And to your point, Adrian, unfortunately, that kind of is all she got. And and it sucks. It sucks so bad. But here we are, unfortunately.
Yeah. I would like to talk about Simone raising a bunch of grown-ass men, because when she sat down with Cecil to discuss Miles being 25 and ain't graduated nobody's college yet, despite having been in college since since he graduated high school. Now, enough is a goddamn enough. Like, Cecil talk about, well, if he not done with college next year, he just not done. Then he need to get a job and start footing the bill for his own college education. Because you have a privilege that so many Black children do not have, and that's that you have two parents, mainly one, but you have two parents who have afforded you the opportunity to go to college and come out debt-free. And you pussyfooting and bullshitting. If you didn't want to go, you just shouldn't have went. Mm. We need to bring back conversations about trade schools and picking up a trade. Okay, you don't want to go to college. You don't have to go become a chef, become a barber, become a carpenter, become an electrician. Trade skill is still a skill. Sitting your ass in school for 7 years, wasting your parents' money is fucking ridiculous. And your daddy with his stay-at-home wife ass acting like it's okay. Yes, Cecil, a stay-at-home wife. Yes, I fucking said it. Cecil don't do shit, but watch Basketball Wives and tweet about how the cast of Basketball Wives, they gonna be superstars and shit. Go to work. Go to fuck to work. You got time to watch Basketball Wives. Go work some overtime. My bad.
I mean, I can't even joke. I can't even joke on it because I'm damn sure I'm gonna be doing that when I switch to remote in January. I'm gonna be watching Basketball Wives on the clock. So I can't even shade it. I can't even talk.
Yeah. Well, this is different because you're not a married husband of two.
But on the serious note, it seems like it definitely seems like no conversation was had with Miles prior to him going off to college is that, is this really what you want to do? Or what are the options? If you feel like, you know, a four-year institutional university is for you, what other options can be had that you would be interested in where you can get an education or get a skill or, you know, a trade or something where you can be a productive member of society, not only for us, but also for yourself. Because to me, it seems like this college shit ain't for him, which that's fair, honestly. But it also doesn't seem like he has any motivational desires outside of that. And that feels like, honestly, I'm not going to lie, that feels like a miscalculation on Cecil and Simone, to be perfectly honest.
Well, as somebody who's inching towards 30, it needs to be a calculation on your own part as an adult.
That's fair.
At some point, you as an adult have to be honest and say, I'm done with school. And I should have said something sooner than this, but I'm done with school. And I need to figure out what's next for my life.
That's fair.
Like like his father, he's living high on the hog, taking advantage of his privilege. He been up there at Howard doing everything but graduating. Shit. It's time now. You a super fucking senior. You like Ice Cube from Higher Learning.
So what is it?
This the one that dated the white girl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
The shade.
The shade.
That was I wonder the correlation between white women and this. In this essay, I will.
Like I said, I just, as a whole, I feel like Simone's biggest, why her attitude is so nasty, why she does a lot of projecting onto Quad is because she is miserable and she wish she could walk away like Quad did from Dr. G. But the difference is Cecil going to take Simone to the cleaners if they break up. He gonna ring her motherfucking clock. He gonna get every piece of alimony he can fucking get.
I would say because they got an agreement, don't they?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I don't know if they have a prenup or I don't know.
I think they do. I think. I could be wrong, but I think they talked about it on the episode once.
Mm-hmm.
One of y'all in the comments let us know if I'm tripping, but I think they got a note.
But she has created, and I can't say that I'm shocked. Because when you have somebody that's real driven, like Simone, there are instances where their drive supplements everybody's. But if you pull them out of the equation, everyone that is around them has not done much because they've basically been eating off that person's drive and success.
Cecil been big chilling.
Them kids been big chilling. Them kids ain't never been nothing to write home about academically or athletically. Quite literally, the genetic lottery rests with Simone. She is a smart fucking cookie. She is a successful, very successful OBGYN. One of the best Black women OBGYNs in the Atlanta metro area. Her and Dr. Jackie. But with that, because she's so driven, she has settled for people around her not being as driven as she is. And it shows directly in her home. Her husband and them kids is mediocre at best. Mediocre looking, mediocre intelligence, mediocre drive. They just there to live good off their mom and the wife. God bless it.
Well, I can't even say good look.
Phaedra house so goddamn ugly.
Well,
it matches her insides.
I was about to say.
They do.
I mean, a tacky house for a tacky bitch, I'm just saying.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We're going to take a quick break right quick, and then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss these own shows. I have quite many things to say between Bell Collective and Love and Marriage Huntsville, and I'm sure Adrian and Jeremy can't wait to run amok as well. So go grab yourself something to drink. Go grab yourself something to eat and join us back after the break. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We hope you did everything you needed to do because we're about to close out strong, discussing OWN and Love and Marriage Huntsville and Bell Collective. I wanted to go to Bell Collective first. Let's get the good news out of the way first. Congratulations, Tambra. She told Aikisha that she was pregnant and they bonded over that. So her and Damon did go the route of in vitro fertilization. So her and Damon still wasn't fucking when that baby was made, but a baby was made. Congratulations. That's what I got for that. Now,
prayers to the baby.
Let's get to the meat and the potatoes because there is no way you could stay in my life after you get up at my book release event and start rapping a fucking song. I am so tired of niggas doing everything but getting a CDL. I'm so tired of niggas doing everything but going ahead on to the fucking military. Going ahead and try to get in at that factory job. Try to get in at Ford or GM. Glendale is 50. Glendale is 50. And he got the nerve to be doing everything but being a 50-year-old stable person for his wife and his child. This motherfucker is going into real studios, wasting these sound engineers' time by recording fucking songs. And this bitch, Letitia, oh, bitch, you a maggot. You're a fucking maggot. You a maggot asshole, bitch, because you was at that motherfucking, you was standing your big Lane Bryant bra wearing ass up there crying like Babyface was serenading you, crying like this was the Usher residency. You was up there crying like that motherfucker was singing There Goes My Baby. Bitch, you are a loser. Oh my God. I'm sorry, y'all. Go ahead. Shut up.
Baby.
I mean, that is loser shit. Like, what else do you say? I'm just sick of her and the Glenn stuff. Like, let that man cheat in peace and y'all just be together. Like, I'm just sick of it. I don't have a lot of energy. But you don't need to be doing nothing but wrapping gifts at Christmas from now on, because the bars were not barring.
He need to wrap tape around his mouth so that he won't rap no more.
A nigga named Glenn. Glendale.
Glendale, why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
And I just want to say this. I want to go back to what Adrian just said. Because do y'all remember when that realtor lady started reading them for Filth last season?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Remember she said how she don't want to be on a show where somebody only act like they divorcing their husband when the cameras are rolling.
Yep.
But when the cameras ain't rolling, they live happily ever after together. She was talking about Letitia because only when the camera's rolling do Letitia be acting like she don't know what she want to do with her marriage. But she know. And I don't think that nigga would carry on the way that he carrying on if she wasn't giving him mixed signals.
Yeah.
Because he liked to cheat. You think he wouldn't be happily divorced and go fucking on the women he actually want to be fucking on instead of Letitia?
I mean, ever since she said that, the realtor said that last season, you know, we've been saying that. Like, we've consistently been saying that because the math, the theatrics do not match the actions. And I mean, if there was ever Like if you ever had any doubt of what that realtor said and what we've been saying, you know, has been like if you ever needed any doubt, this was it. Because in what world are you fed up with this nigga? You tired of the lies, you tired of the embarrassment, this nigga, you know, got a hold, you know, was out here cheating on you unprotected. You know, in what world do you hate this nigga's guts? Yet you crying over these Dr. Seuss ass bars, if you can even call them that, that he pulling out at your book signing. Like, like y'all, you put on the front for the cameras. You ain't leaving this nigga. You love this nigga. This nigga want to cheat in peace, as Adrian said. And the reason he acts out the way that he does, not that it's a justification, but he don't like that you front for these cameras like you a strong, independent woman that don't need no nigga. You need a nigga named Glendale. He is a nigga named Glendale. You act like you don't need a nigga named Glendale, and that's why he act out and be like, don't be playing in my face in these damn cameras, because you unfortunately, you feel you cannot do anything better than a nigga named Glendale, and that's sad.
Very. But while we here, I want to have a conversation about the nigga Glendale and his BFF Cliff, because
two fuck niggas in the park.
I was very happy when JJ and Willie held Cliff feet to the fire about the shit he's doing with Glenn. And they were absolutely spot on the fucking money. Cliff is not Glenn's friend. Cliff wants to have a partner in fucking chaos like him. Mm-hmm. That is what this is about. Mm-hmm. Cliff only has something to say about Glenn and Letitia's marriage when he is sowing seeds of chaos and doubt and just outlandishness.
He wants Cliff wants Glenn to control Letitia like he does Latrice.
Yes.
So he can have a partner in fuck niggas.
Yes.
And
that's what this is about.
And I don't want to say I'm glad that Jay said it, because fuck Jay too. But at least Will, like, they see that shit for what it is, and they called it out, and they held Cliff accountable. That's how men hold other men accountable: seeing fuck shit, calling it out, and taking you to task about it.
Yes, that's exactly it. Because, like they said, there is no reason that you're always calling Glenn and turning things that are not a big deal into a big deal and gassing them up and fanning the fucking flames and throwing gasoline on the fire. It is very much giving, I want you to be as miserable with your wife as I am with mine. That is what this is about. And we can have being awful husbands together in common.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Newsflash. You don't got to do what you're doing now. Y'all already awful husbands together.
All right.
And y'all don't got to go this route.
He want an ally amongst the men of the cast, because Glenn the only husband that fuck with him.
And I also want to say, this is how you know that Glenn is a child. And I feel like I said this, if you haven't, go and subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/flawlessnoises. Subscribe at the red noise level so you can get access to Ratchet Reloaded. But I just said this about Eris and Cam from Life After Lockup. And it's that women overlook a lot and try to turn men into who they want them to be versus allowing them to be who they are. Glenn is not a leader. He is not a boss. He is not a provider. He is not a protector, because he's sitting here allowing a husband whose wife is completely and utterly miserable with him to the point that they do not sleep in the same fucking bedroom. He's allowing this man to sow seeds of doubt into his already rocky marriage. Cliff couldn't tell me a motherfucking thing about marriage. Your wife don't want to fuck you or even have a baby with you. You and your wife don't sleep in the same bed together. When y'all in the same room together and the cameras is rolling, y'all look like y'all barely want to speak to each other. You cannot give me no advice about my marriage. And then, which is crazy, because we get to the scene. First of all, Letitia was being nice, bringing you in on a business deal. because you are not, there is no reason why a bank would want you in a bank commercial other than your wife is one of the bells of Owns Bell Collective on the Oprah Winfrey Network. So for you to come, first of all, to show up late, to interrupt meeting with these other Black business owners, to go and talk about how she's getting the bigger percentage of the deal, and Cliff said, this is how it was going to be. Cliff told me it was going to go like this. Again, Cliff not your fucking friend. Cliff wanted to see you miserable. Cliff wants you to blow your fucking life up the way he blowing his life up by being unkind and nasty and controlling to his wife. Yes, Letitia should get the bigger percentage of the deal. She is the reason that the deal exists. She's on fucking TV, even when you ain't nowhere to be found. The inside of that man's head is dark as his skin tone.
All right.
Okay. Just saying. Just fucking saying. You know, that's all I had.
Bigger than Glenda.
Yeah. Did we miss anything else?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
I do not care about So Gucci and JJ's mother, because So Gucci is JJ's mother. She Correct. Is the mother-in-law, the stepmother from hell, just like his mama is the mother-in-law from hell. She is getting no more than she is giving out. So no, I do not care that his mother is a fucking nightmare and a disaster, because so is she. And she's still hemming and hawing and boo-hooing and crying about Latrice being cool with Selena. Get the fuck over it. I just feel like So Gucci is obsessed with Selena because JJ still want to be fucking on his ex-wife if possible. If possible, he want to have his cake and eat it too.
I have nothing but bad things to say about that household ever since I saw it. I noticed last week and brought it to the attention that this nigga got 2023 tatted in his goddamn skull. So I have nothing. The only thing I have to say about JJ and that household and so fake Gucci a suffer, bitch.
Damn.
Because why the fuck did you do that?
Mm. Mm.
Speaking of suffering,
Love and Marriage Huntsville. Okay, so let me, Stormy, you were being really fucking awful in this episode. Yes, you were. First things first, you got together with Tisha, and the first thing you did, and I want people to stop doing this. We've said it, and we'll say it again. As a matter of fact, I think Adrian said it. Whatever Tisha and Marceau have going on in their marriage, that is what they have going on. And I so very much wish y'all would stop trying to prove to her at every turn that he's cheating on her. She does not care. She's not going anywhere.
Pretty much.
She's not leaving him. So every time he does something, oh, that's where the prostitutes be. That's where the brothels at. It's prostitutes everywhere. As a matter of fact, most men cheating, they ain't got to buy pussy to cheat.
Martell did.
Oh,
well, I mean, he did. He was definitely paying for the pussy. Oh yeah, she definitely said he was taking care of her. Remember?
Well, yeah,
Beamers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean. But yeah.
Tisha.
But I think.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
But yeah, one more thing before we move on, Candace. I think, but yeah, I mean, even us, right? Because y'all listen to this podcast, like there's plenty of episodes of us, you know, on record saying, like, of course we think Marceau cheating, but like, even we stop saying it to a certain point because it's kind of low-hanging fruit, because it's like, yeah, like, do we pretty much all think that he's cheating? Yeah. Do we know that do we believe that he's disrespectful to his wife? Yeah. I mean, he's disrespectful to everybody, but his wife included, yeah. But it's like, unless we, like, present a tape of Marceau having a threesome with somebody that's not his wife, like, I mean, what else can we say? And even then, like, if she don't want to leave, she don't want to leave. I mean, it kind of just is what it is.
And it's just, at this point, it's not our business without any concrete facts at this point. Without any concrete receipts that would, you know, force them to be honest, force him to tell the truth. There's no reason to keep beating this dead horse. And I could be honest, to me, there's a lot of other things that she could leave him for with primarily how he treats her and talks to her and validates her and just how kind of how awful he is when it comes to her, right. Cheating aside, you know, I feel like there's some bigger things
that
she should, that she could leave over, and we got receipts of it.
Literally the show we watched.
So that's my first thing. But then the next thing I want to say is I would absolutely love for Stormy to mind her business and focus on her own family dynamic. Your intentions are not good when you keep trying to foster red flags between Kiki and other people, other than you don't want to put your family in the forefront of this situation, so you rather put Kiki and Tisha in the forefront. There, you are not close enough to them. You have not known either of them long enough to constantly be trying to stick your nose in their relationship. They are blood family. Should they ever decide to get back on the right path with each other, that is a them thing. You need to go mind your business and try to get your mama and your auntie, who are sisters, back on the good foot. You worried about cousins and the sisters in your family be fighting like cats and dogs. Mm. Go sit the fuck down and mind your business.
Yeah, I definitely think that Stormy did good by getting Kiki and Tiffany, you know, together on the good foot, but that's as far as it should have went. It didn't need to go no further than that.
Because that relationship is as shallow as Stormy's relationship with Kiki and Tisha. It's not very long standing. Whatever is going on between Tisha and Kiki is so much deeper than what we know and what we've seen that it just makes sense for everybody to stay out of it at this point.
True. I agree.
And furthermore, now let's get to this, because Letitia, you are supposed to read over your website before it goes live and you are selling the product. There's honestly, let me say this, her web designer, her graphic designer, whoever was writing up the description, still in the description from Canvas or whatever, proofreading and quality control takes place, because after you look at something for so long, you can very easily miss mistakes in the document. If you read the same passage enough times, you can miss something new every time or find something that you missed before every time. If anything, you should maybe stop stealing, or not stealing, maybe not plagiarize another business's return policy or things like that, because it was very it's a very basic and very common return policy. If you were in the business like you say you were, you would understand return policies, because you've got multiple businesses. Some not adding up. For y'all to be big bank millionaires who always talking about money and what y'all doing and how y'all better than people and nobody helped y'all and nobody made y'all, why don't you have a very typical return policy as business owners? It ain't making sense. It ain't looking good in the light.
It just seemed like with most things, she doing it for a look and not because she actually has any passion behind it.
Yeah. Which, that's a great point, Adrian. Do you feel like that a lot of the stress that she feels, like when she was talking to Kimmy about it, like all this stress and feeling her, do you think that's because she's not passionate about any of the stuff that she's doing, so it's just very taxing?
I think for her particular case, yes. I think Tisha is surrounded by women with very strong strong personalities, hustler spirits, because between Kimmy, Mel, and even Stormy, like, those are some hustlers. Kimmy, as a single mom, she put her son through school and he had no debt. Like, Mel, with all the businesses and stuff she's done, both pre and post divorce from Martell. Like, I think Tisha wants to be in that number, but she hasn't found what really makes her want to work and hustle. So she's just kind of jumping on everything that everybody else is doing.
Yeah, that's what I was getting from it as well. Like, she's stressed out, she's tired, she's overwhelmed, because she's not doing anything that really adds value or purpose to her life. Everything is either what she thinks she should be doing or somebody else's dream. Scope is Marceau's baby. The hair care line is something she did to try to compete with Mel, because Mel's girls had put out a hair care line. You know, the podcast thing, she was trying to do that for a moment because it was popular at the moment. And I'm sure she saw that some of the ladies on reality TV shows, the Moniques and the Robins and the Giselles, were doing podcasts. I don't think Tisha truly has found what her purpose-driven life looks like yet, because she spends so much of her time chasing dreams that people say you're supposed to chase. Oh, you're supposed to want to work side by side with your husband. Oh, you're supposed to want to do what brings in the most money, but it doesn't seem like she has a passion for any of it. So yeah, that's probably why you tired. And that whole pregnancy test shit was contrived, and you could have kept that. You knew you wasn't pregnant. And you want to know how you knew you wasn't pregnant? It's not because Marceau got a vasectomy. It's because he fucking everybody but you. You knew damn well didn't no baby batter go in you to make no babies. Not with his big titty having ass. It was boring, and it still just feels like after weeks of not having y'all on our TV screen, y'all were not missed. We didn't miss y'all. Hate to say it, but we didn't. It is what it is. But you know, Stormy tried to hold your feet to the fire. You refused to apologize. When you finally did apologize, it was to pacify Stormy. And this is where I wish things had ended. I don't think that Stormy needed to try to set up a couple's date night with the four of y'all. Y'all don't care for each other for real. Stormy and Tisha, y'all barely cool. You know, y'all barely on the good foot. Courtney and Marceau definitely don't care for each other. Marceau and Stormy don't really care for each other. There was no reason to set this up other than y'all both was trying to have a moment in front of the cameras. And it worked out like that. And it's what y'all deserve, honestly. Because Marceau and Tisha showed up an hour and a half late, again, denoting they don't respect y'all and they don't like y'all. Because there's no way I would show up to a couple's date night an hour and a half late if I really want to get to know the other couple and hang out and kick it and just chill. They showed up an hour and a half late, hoping that y'all would have left, if we being honest. So they could have enjoyed their night. There was no reason for that couple's night. It went disastrous. Yep. It did.
It's like two couples that don't like each other meet up. What could possibly go wrong?
And to me, I'm gonna be honest. To me, I think that in this situation, Marceau is not the one that's in the wrong. Because here's the thing. If you're going to be on reality TV and you're going to be dishing it the way Stormy likes to dish it with that mouth of hers, y'all need to be able to take it as good as y'all dish it. And to me, calling him Mr. Steele was not nearly a huge dig. It's just the one that landed the hardest because it's been under his skin for how many episodes now?
I think I said it last week when we was heading out. I didn't understand it then. I didn't understand it now, why that was such like a trigger for him. And I think it just goes to your point of them wanting to have a moment, because this nothing about that seemed like, oh, I need to be mad at this nigga for 86 moons and nights.
Here's the thing. If Mike know I done disrespected another man and then call him 84 types of bitches, and that man take a dig at Mike, you think Mike finna want to fight the nigga? The fair exchange ain't no robbery. As a whole, Marceau did what he was supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to go back and forth with Stormy, because what could he have said to Stormy that wouldn't have been disrespectful in excess of how she disrespected him? If he started calling her a barrage of bitches back, Courtney would have wanted to fight Marceau.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't have been a good look on Marceau's part. He took the dig at who he was supposed to take the dig at. I'm not finna argue with your wife, nigga. I'll argue with you. Finally, Marceau is giving some smoke to another man, which we've been called him out on. We've been saying he like to have smoke for the women, but he don't puff up at niggas on the show. Well, he for sure gave Courtney a little dig. And Courtney was crying, and he been in his feelings since.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I definitely agree with that. It's, for me, it's just the, I don't understand the dig, I guess is my thing.
Because Steele is Stormy's last name, not Courtney's.
Yeah, I mean, and I know, I just, again, it's a me thing. I'm like, okay, you call me my wife's name, okay?
Because he was low key misgendering him, basically saying he the wife. That was the dig without getting too far in the misogyny bag.
Okay, I get it now. I get it.
That was the dig. He all but called him Mrs. Steele.
I see.
So he called him Mr. Steele, and Courtney took it personal. Because if we're being honest, they both still lean heavily enough into misogyny that they knew the implications of what was said.
Oh yeah, the fact that shit didn't even register with me as to why it was such a big deal, because I don't, like, I'm so far removed from that shit and gender norms. Like, I'm like, well, nigga, what the fuck is the big deal? It's like, oh, okay, oh, I get it.
Yeah, that's the big deal.
I get it.
And again, even still, as having a wife who has called this man all types of bitches and is still doubling down on it, there's no way you should be that mad. You gotta take that one on the chin.
Yeah.
Because your wife was doing a lot worse, and she was definitely knee deep into the phobia bag.
Yeah.
Calling him honestly, one of the girls and sis and Miss Thang, and he wanna be one of the bitches, and
it's the lesser of two evils.
It's
the lesser of two evils. Cause like you said, if Marceau returns that energy that Stormy has been giving him, now you're ready to fight this nigga. But he returns it, but he directs it at you. And you, without any kind of self-awareness, is like big mad, but it's like, but you're not mad at your wife for giving that energy to him.
Yeah. And the thing is, here's the thing. Okay, I still feel like Stormy grossly overreacted with the Marceau thing at the Black Business Expo. Yeah. Even if you wasn't going to give him the $100, from what we seen, unless there's some footage that was edited out and never shown, he was not all in her face, aggressive, talking crazy to her like she said he was. And so for Courtney to have seen what happened with his own eyes and come back to this season and not even privately hold his wife accountable and say, babe, I saw what happened, and your recollection of it and what the camera show, you didn't have any reason to go into that calling that man bitches and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Because you would have a problem if another woman was sitting up calling me all type of bitches and disrespecting me.
Yeah, because he didn't even pull a Lewis, because like, one thing I know we all have our, qualms about Lewis, but one thing Lewis does do with Tiffany, when he is presented with the truth, he will go back and be like, girl, what the hell? Because remember when he got into it with Marceau and what's the other nigga name?
It was Martell, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Martell. The story that Tiffany presented him is why he, felt the way he felt. But then when he learned the truth, he went back to Tiffany and was like, why the hell you got me in the middle of that shit by lying? So Courtney didn't even do that.
Yep. Yeah. It just, like I said, I just don't understand why Stormy wanted to facilitate this, knowing that there were still ill feelings between her and how she feels about Tisha and the thing with stealing stuff off her website, and with Courtney and Marceau. Well, Courtney still having an issue with Marceau for calling him Mr. Steele. There was no reason for either of these couples to agree to hanging out. And then Marceau and Tisha, like I said, showed up an hour and a half late because they don't respect them, and they was hoping they would be gone by then. Marceau don't care for Stormy. Tisha and Stormy barely care for each other. Courtney don't care for Marceau. Like, it's just, there was no reason to try to do no couples nothing.
I mean, it's like you said, having a moment.
Yeah, that's all it was about. And then if we talking about having a moment, okay, let's talk about Kimmy, Tisha, and Mel getting together. Cause I got some words for Kimmy. The first one, my first thing is, aside from Nell and Chris, And Chris didn't even go to Mel's name changing ceremony. Aside from Nell and Chris, nobody has been unbiased or impartial in this whole Mel and Martell situation. The men have, Tisha and Mel was on the outs, okay? Kimmy is with Maurice. Maurice and Marceau went the mile to make as many jokes as they could about Mel and Martell's divorce and how ugly it got, and so on and so forth. Not only that, it was revealed, I can't remember what season reunion, but it was revealed to us that that goddamn girl that Martell has the baby with, Arion, she was hanging around them. She was around them. She was meeting them when they would be taking guy trips together.
Didn't they meet on the Atlanta trip? Or am I misremembering
yes,
that?
Yes. And that's when Arion went on social media and was like, y'all got a lot to say to have had, you know, y'all own women that wasn't y'all women down there as well.
Mm.
Because that's when she said Maurice was pushing up on a woman that was built like a linebacker.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so I guess my question is, and it's no shade to Kimmy or Tisha, but why would Mel have you two there at her name changing ceremony so that y'all could then go home and tell y'all husbands everything that happened or how it was, and so that they can make fun of it and be nasty about it and use it as banter and fodder when they talk to Martell to get under his skin?
Can we also bring up that I love Kimmy, so I'm going to preface what I'm saying with I love Kimmy, but Kimmy has always been on the, oh, it's so hard seeing you without Martell and all this other like super weird shit. So to like kind of push them back together, because I feel like she don't want to pick a side, even though she knows Martell is wrong, but Martell is friends with her husband, so she wants to be neutral or whatever. But I wouldn't invite you either. You've never shown any
backbone
or support for me leaving him. It's always trying to push us back together. Oh, it's so hard seeing y'all not with each other. Oh, do you ever think that if this and that happened that you could be like, you do too much and I wouldn't have had you there either. I'm gonna be honest.
Adrian, hey Adrian, quick and to the point with that one. That was a poignant little tug at Kimmy's wig. Because I didn't even think about that. But yes, it's not even that she's not been neutral. Her stance has always been she would rather Martell and Mel be together and work through their issues. Yes, she is absolutely all right. Well, I can't believe I'll always think, and I do think she said that before.
Yeah,
no matter has. What happens, I'm always think of Mel and Martell as one.
Yeah, she has. Adrian got deep in the bag with that one, but she's absolutely right. She's on record saying that.
Yeah. And so it's again, like, it's nothing personal, but y'all had, yes, the cast has, they've either been nasty and treated it like a joke and like it was something funny, or they have spun it like they don't ever see Mel and Martell not being together. And honestly, no, you can't come to my name changing ceremony where I'm going back to my maiden name when you have always advocated for me staying with this man who treated me like shit. Which, interesting enough, when they start to have this conversation about last names, and this is why I say, like, a lot of people, especially like when you get in like Kimmy's age range and even like the 40 and up age range, the 40 and up crowd is only progressive to an extent. To an extent. They only get progressive and they draw a line in the sand, because Kimmy is having this antiquated conversation about the kids' last names and Mel going back to her maiden name and so on and so forth. This coming from a godfather, forgive me, and I'm not trying to be funny, but this coming from a woman who you and your son had the same last name because you was a single mom. And so if people spent a lot of their time, I'm sure people spent a lot of their time pushing those stereotypes on you having to raise a child by yourself, that you would do best to unlearn that. Those kids are going to be just fine without sharing the same last name as Mel. Those kids have seen and been through a lot worse at their father's hands, if we being honest. If you want to talk about some shit, talk about all of the things that they've had to see as a result of their father's continued infidelity and disrespect of their mother. Fuck that last name.
Especially when we are, well, not that she's seen this footage, but we have footage of Martell saying, like, well, her not having the last name just kind of feel like it's finality to it. Like, she don't even have that little piece. So even him saying that lets me know, Mel know who she's dealing with. Yeah. Mel knew that the name, the last name wasn't worth the hassle.
No, because as long as her last name was Holt, it was always going to be Melody and Martell Holt. And we all know it. We all know it. We all know it.
I just can't be bothered to be so concerned about a last name when the nigga that is the root cause of all this in the first place didn't care enough about the last name to not make it a situation, to not even put Mel in this situation. So,
yeah. And not even that. When it comes to Kimmy, I want you to mind your business, because at the top of this episode, you are on camera saying to the world that Maurice only does shit after you have to nag him about it a million times.
And then he wondering why her pussy don't get wet. Oh, I'm sorry.
Why she got to steam it like a crab boil.
Like you wondering that? Mm.
Like this was not a conversation you were equipped to have with Melody, because you're the same woman who's a single mother to a kid that you didn't fuck to have when it come to Monster. Bitch, please give it a break. You a single mother. You had to beg Maurice to start spending more time with fucking Monster, and you ain't had nan piece of Monster. You didn't carry him for nan day, nan trimester, nan week. You got bigger fish to fry, like admitting to the world that you are raising a 40 plus year old man to be the husband he should want to be.
Mm, that's a ball right there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm sorry, not sorry, Kimmy, but like, I'm really not trying to hear anything from a woman whose husband is on and record saying that you suffer through having sex with him and then you defended it.
Yeah, Kimmy tries, but she definitely, if you lift up the thin veil, she definitely is a pick me. She definitely puts a lot of weight and merit into being a married woman, especially because she had to raise her son as a single woman. So this is what she longed for, to be miserable and married. Because before she was miserable, and I don't know what she was, but she is miserable and married, because there are very few good things that we see between Kimmy and Maurice. It's always them not seeing eye to eye on something. Always. But yeah, I don't give a fuck about Mel changing her name. Them kids' last name is Holt. Anybody who know Mel knows she used to be a Holt and she was married. And furthermore, we really shouldn't give a fuck about how society feel about last names and out of wedlock this and single mother that or single father that, because people grow up in fucked up two-parent households, single-parent households, blended households. People grow up fucked up. It's about are the people in the home healthy? And they not. Martell is a piece of shit. And he is going to have to reckon one day with his kids being able to go back and watch this show and see how fucking awful that he really treated their mother. That's going to mean something. That's going to be the issue. You think it's going to be because her last name Rogers again? No. When it's a day of reckoning coming, it ain't going to be about no last name, I tell you that. Before we go, I want to talk about the Fletchers. Our good friend John from the John Effect podcast, shout out to John and Jackie, Carefree Blur. Hey, y'all. John is very adamant that he can't stand Nell. He call her Nell Carter.
Now what give me a break do to him?
He don't like Nell. And this episode, she was teetering on being pretty unlikable. The first thing I want to say, and we said it last week, is that I'm very happy to see Chris take the mental health of his son seriously. And people have these ideas, these preconceived notions in their minds of what a mental health crisis looks like. And I feel like because Nell don't feel like her son is in a mental health crisis, she doesn't, and he's not presenting like it, and maybe he's not talking about awful things like suicide ideation, or he's not harming himself, or he's not staying in the bed for days at a time and locking himself away and not answering his phone, that she don't believe that he could possibly be having a mental health crisis or dealing with some form of depression. And her lack of empathy was really hard to watch. It was really hard to watch because if you have dealt with depression in any capacity, even if it was short term, even if it was depression triggered by, you know, an event or something like that, depression is really fucking, it's really fucking hard to be the best version of yourself when depression is sitting on your goddamn shoulders. It's hard to figure out what move to make next in your life when you are depressed. It is very hard to be an active member of society when you are depressed and you don't know how to get up out of it. She just came across really callous to me in this episode. And it to me, now I definitely understand why the kids and the nieces and the nephews are more comfortable going to Chris than going to her. He just a grown ass man who need to get his shit together and blah, blah, blah. Whole time, Chris has obviously done some reading and looks things up because he's like, I don't know if this is it for sure, but some of his behavior, some of the things that he's doing, you know, are saying that they could be a form of depression. And I want him to talk to somebody and get him help. And I'm willing to go with him and sit down and talk to somebody if that will help him to get better. That is how you be proactive about mental health for the people you love. You don't just blow them off and act like it's not a big deal. So I could see why John don't like her, because she was pretty unlikable in this episode to me. But I don't know. Y'all weigh in and tell me where y'all stand on it.
I mean, I think that's pretty fair. I think it just goes to what I said last week about Chris's like demeanor and tenure, is that he has a very calming presence and spirit where he's just not going to fly off the cuff. He's going to take time to get some kind of understanding, even if he doesn't quite understand things himself. And I think that translates to a lot of things. His business, his professional career, his platonic ties with his friends. I mean, God knows, now granted, I wouldn't be friends with Martell, but Lord knows you have to have the strength of the mustard seed to deal with Martell's ass in incapacity. Hell, even down to like his family with the kids, with Nell. So I think it's he's the common one. Nell is the firecracker. And the thing with firecrackers is sometimes they tend to blow up things in the not so pleasant ways. And I think this was one of Nell's not so pleasant ways.
Yeah. And I wonder if her kind of attitude played into Chris's infidelity.
Mm.
And I really do. Because I don't know. Is this a new Zen Chris? Or was Chris like, I can't really tell because we don't have a beginning point, but I wonder if her kind of abrasiveness made an opening for him to choose to cheat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me that when they are on the outs or if they're not seeing eye to eye, she's really unbearable because she's been pretty unbearable to watch in regards to her children. And again, I understand that some people think that the best form of love is tough love, but tough love has never loved somebody out of depression or a mental health crisis. It never has. Professional help has. Somebody who's equipped to deal with it, that is what has gotten people to come back from depressive episodes and mental health crises. Whatever she's doing, it didn't sit well with me. Hopefully, on this journey with Chris Jr., maybe, you know, at some point they can sit down and do therapy as a family. But she just doesn't seem really receptive, but I hope she is for the sake of her child, because nobody wants to have to live with, you know, the ramifications of, you know, what depression and what mental health, what a mental health crisis can lead to. And you don't want that on your mind and your spirit. If anything, you want to know that you helped, you tried to help as much as you possibly could and get them the professional help they needed to feel better, be better, do better, have a better life. So, you know, she was pretty callous, but hopefully, you know, it won't be the norm is all I gotta say. But yeah. I mean, I didn't see the previews for next week. So I'm living on a hope and a prayer. But
I pray that the Scots are not on the TV show.
I don't know. I've not been upset about the Scots not being on very much, but it looks like Kimmy is gonna try to bring in a therapist, and her and Maurice talk to a therapist and some other things. And I don't know. Probably should have did that before you got married. But anyways, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Like I said, if you haven't, be sure to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/flawlessnoises. Subscribe at the red noise level. Get access to Ratchet Reloaded, where we are covering Life After Lockup and E's House of Villains, which to me is like Big Brother, but for reality TV supervillains. And it's been pretty good and pretty enjoyable. Omarosa is on there, Tanisha from Bad Girls Club, Johnny Bananas, Johnny Fairplay. New York was on there, but she got sent home. Bobby Lights from Love and Hip Hop Miami, he's still on there, so hopefully not for long though. So it's pretty decent, and I think that's it for this week. Y'all got anything to say before we get out of here?
No.
Will y'all be safe? Have a good week. Stay out of trouble, and stay off those heels. You don't want to die on them. We out.
Bye, y'all. Peace.